This is Huynh who interviewing Mr. Fijin at his home at 2 o'clock p.m. on March 28, 2018 about his experience during Hurricane Harvey.
Do you experience any other kinds of natural disaster before?
Right, here is close to Gulf of Mexico, right? And then every single summer we got the bunch of this, quite a few of like hurricane coming, right? So since we live in Houston, we got experience with Katrina, Ike, Rita, and then this time, unfortunately, Harvey just give us a hard heat, and then our house totally get flooded, and then all the furniture, cars got total. So that's the worst one, I think, yeah.
Would you tell me the real story during the Hurricane Harvey?
Sure, yeah, I've got to tell you. Well, it's not such a good, lot of good story, but I can tell you some of the facts, right? So, this Harvey has been reported as Category 5. I think it's near, August the 26th, right? So, and it hit San Antonio first and then come to Houston. And then we just get forecast with heavy rains. But everybody just get prepared and then collect all those foods. And then so we are one of those and go to all the grocery stores and find the empty shelves and then try to get some waters, right? And so water is more important than some of those, cookies, but it's all gone. And then, but luckily we got some packs and then, one of our friends is in our neighborhood and then she, her family is like her husband just left for business trip, right? Mm-hmm. And then she just with her two kids. So she said, "Oh, I don't have water." Then I just check our packs and say, mm-hmm. "Okay, I got one pack saved." So I just offer her a pack. And then this story is true story. Just everybody is helping. So and mm-hmm. when they prepare for a hurricane, right? So and then. We get well prepared, I hope, I think, right? And then the first day when they come and then rain, it doesn't come to actually the metro Houston area. Mm-hmm. It actually goes to Sugar Land and Katy. Those places, they get, a lot of water instead. So that's why we're happy here. But unfortunately, it's a Sunday, I believe, we got a lot of water pouring down, and then it's never stopped at all. So that's the thing how happened afterwards, right? The disaster. So, and other than that, I have to mention the area that we live in is Maryland. It's an area like got famous nationwide now. The reason is it got flooded in 2015, 2016, and in 2017 is Harvey. The previous two is not because of the hurricane. It's just because of, I have to say that it's because of the garbage, project by the government and by the city. What happened is in 2014, they start to replace a lot of those pipes coming from, coming from our neighborhood to Bayou. It's a sewage system. They're going to kind of like replace all of the major ones, right? So by doing replacement, is a good thing is you can send the water, the sewage water, polluted water can go the way to Bayou faster, efficiently. But the other way is like when they have high water in the water, all the water just reach back to our neighborhood. That's how I think it got flooded in 2015, 16, even 17, So that's a story I want to say about this project they have done with the replacement of the sewage system. So the next thing is after the preparing, we got water coming in probably around midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning of I think it's 26 or 29, I don't remember exactly, mm-hmm. but end of August, right? The water started coming and then we start to move around our stuffs and trying to save some of those, right? Mm-hmm. And then we just it's everywhere. But we know from neighborhood before what the story, how they can prepare. But anyway, we just have to make, my expectation is the water is just like probably 1 foot high. And then we start to move everything up to 2 feet.
Ooh.
Yeah, everywhere to 2 feet. I mean, yeah, two feet high. And then, you know, after like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, it just pass 1 foot and then come to the 2nd foot. And then, you know, there's a, probably you know in the house, and there's not too many places above like a 2 foot, 2 feet, right? So we start to move everything from 2 feet high to 2 feet high to 4 feet high. So that's an interesting story, I mean, during the time. And then the government, I don't think that the government is efficient in saving those victims in the neighborhood at all. So they do not have enough power, manpower. They do not have enough equipment, to, like boats. They only have like a rough or, you know, those like canoe to help. And then there's no like a boat to come around and stay. So I think on the TV, I have no chance to look at because I lost all the powers already. So, but on the TV, they show all this rescuer, how they can help and how they save people. I'm not sure whether you saw it or no.
Yeah, I saw the news about how people save other people.
Right. So the rescuer, they send the rescuer from helicopter and send to the house and save people one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good thing is they can save people. The other thing is that it's not efficient at all because we got like thousands of people, you know, mm-hmm. they got in the water. So a story and then some of those, I think it's a problem from the government to prepare for this hurry.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't, think it's so serious. It's such a disaster. So after that, we got because we are close to the boundary. I mean, we don't get a lot of water, and then we just have some, those floaty, those like rough. And then they have like a foam, and then we get some of those floaty, and then we put our keys on top,
mm-hmm.
and then just push them out. So after we try at the best to see what we can save, we just ask it. And then we try to call people, and then nobody come. So we have to save ourselves, actually. So anyway, they put the floaty and then we just walk out to a grocery store nearby, Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government later on, I mean, they have military troops to collect all those people and then send people from the grocery store to the downtown judge, the shaft, right? The judge Washington. The convention center, right? So we were sent there, and then we find a place to live, and then that's the day what happened with the hurricane. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And afterward, the next day is also interesting. So the rain start to stop, right? I had to call my friends just for SOS. So all our friends, they are Houstonians, so they're living here for a while. It's not like the troops. When they take us in a truck, and then they actually just get lost in Houston area. My friends know where to go, and then it's also hard. I mean, because everywhere gets flooded. So that's the situation, and then that's some story. Eventually, my friend take some detour and then all the way to come to downtown area and then pick us, and then we live in their house mm-hmm. afterwards. So that's what happened during, I think, Harvey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you have insurance before the Hurricane Harvey? Because I understand a lot of insurance company, they didn't accept the insurance before they know the Hurricane Harvey will come.
Yes, first thing is like, to answer your question, yeah, we do have the insurance coverage,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like we call just in front of, it's just before this area, right?
Mm-hmm.
We actually have this this flood insurance for like a year. So since we purchased the house, we live there, we bought this insurance. Normally, for insurance company, I think you have to have this insurance 1 month ahead, so they can, you can have the coverage there.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you call 2 days, 3 days before, you will get the coverage.
Yeah.
But that's their business. I'm trying to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, yes, we have the coverage, and then you know the insurance, pay part of the our damage, and then that's a lengthy, very slow process. You know, I believe it's not just because Texas get flooded, and then this time we got Florida and Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
they got affected too. So that's why it slowed down.
Mm-hmm. After the Harvey, did you do something to repair your house, or just try? Do you still live in the house now?
Oh, we actually run the house, and then the other thing is like another our house get flooded, our neighbor, I mean our zone, the elementary school got flooded too.
Mm-hmm.
So my kid can know where to go to school after that. So it's like take about 2 weeks for the school
mm-hmm.
to reopen, and
mm-hmm.
they actually relocate to another place. I mean the school moved to another place, right? So right, so that's we have to move and run the house, and then we started thinking about whether we're going to rebuild it or repair it or just sell it as is, right? So that's the three options. And mainly, every time our neighborhood is just struggling to pick one of those three. So to rebuild is like you have to tear it down, right? And to meet our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, you have to raise up like 4 feet high. That's required by the new rule. So that's like a lot of money you have to pay for that. So,
mm-hmm.
and then to sell it, because of the market in the neighborhood area, they have quite a lot of devalue. So thinking about all these like financial things, and then we finally decide to repair our house. That's
mm-hmm.
that's how it is. So, but if you want to know a lot of more detail, I can continue to tell.
Yeah, sure.
And then, so that's pretty much. And then we decide to repair it, we start to find some contractors, right? Of course, I mean those contractors are very hard to find because everybody is thinking repair it and get it. Contractor to work on the house, so that's things, and then the market price is not cheap. So it used to be maybe $100 per day for labor. Right now it's raised to like $120, and then it started to be like $130 per day. And then when we almost finished, I was told that guy is like $150 everywhere. So we start to repair it late of November.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to work with some contractor. And we also got the problem with the contractor. The first contractor we hired, after a week, they just left. And leave a lot of things undone, so half cooked. So. And then we had to find the contractor by ourselves and start to, ours is like it's just 2 months or 2.5 months to get our house repaired. It's not that slow, but I heard that normally can half a year is not surprised at all. So that's how we have the house repaired, and now we move back. Actually, we move back to our house, and then everything's new. And it was, forgot to mention, our house is like 1960s. That's when it was built, and then, never get this big remodeling. So now it's everything is in 2017. Everything is new there.
Do you see any, like, the mold issue after the Hurricane Harvey?
For us, we do hear a lot of those even before hurricanes that, like I said, our neighborhood get flooded before. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is some mode that if we do not treat it, you know, timely or efficiently. So for us, you know, we got some professional to treat it,
mm-hmm.
and then we don't really have that problem.
Okay.
It's ours.
Mm-hmm. And after hurry, do you go to the supermarket immediately to buy some fresh food or?
No, we have friends.
Oh, okay.
As I told you, I mean, our friend picks us from the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then for about a week or two, we just live there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also find a random house. And then we start to, after that, we start to purchase, you know, the things. So in one of the grocery store, and then when I'm trying to check out, and the cashier said, do you get affected? I said, how do you know? Because you buy a lot of groceries.
Yeah.
Right, so... So yeah, so that's what happened. I mean, you had to buy a lot of those necessities and
mm-hmm.
to replace and start to work. I mean,
yeah. And could based on the story you talk about, do you have other details or a story in your mind now?
Well, there's a lot of bunch of stories. I mean, so it's. Right, so one thing like I want to mention is like after the Harvey, you know, due to the structure of here, right, all those houses they have like shirak and then they have this like insulation. So all this you have to remove from the house and cut the structure and then remove all those furnitures and then flooded, you know. Stuff so well, the other thing is we have to contact the insurance, because some of the insurance company, if you remove some of your furniture and without any samples and things like that, or take enough picture, they will just reject that to compensate and pay the insurance at all. So that's why we got hard time at the beginning to talk through with our agent. I mean, so you know, at that time, every house trying to get their, you know, adjust, they call it adjuster, and then agent or adjust their same person, actually. So it's hard to get this agent, and then it's hard to contact with them. So like 3 or 5 days later, we just get this adjuster, and then we luckily this time is like after the storm, you know, we keep raining for a couple of days. So in Houston area, around August, we are still like 100 degrees at that moment. So if it's right after the rain, we will get this hot weather, you know, all of those, you know, insulation inside the wall will get mold.
Mm-hmm.
So this time we are lucky, I have to say, because a lot of people get affected, and then we had like days, you know, to be in the cool weather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's lucky thing. But we're gonna have to remove stuff. Let me come back to the story, right? So
mm-hmm.
we had to remove a lot of stuff, and then we cannot find a lot of people, because people are helping this house or helping with that house. And then, you know, I actually have several classmates before, and then they call them to come and help to move, and then it's not so efficient. I mean, but we actually move out a couple of 2 or 3 days, and then we start to find people to help us to cut the drywall and then remove all those insulations, right? So it's first, I mean, we got a couple of friends and they help us to cut a couple of rooms, I mean, 1 or 2 rooms, but it's very slow because we are not professionals. And then I start to thinking about our previous contractors, right? I call them. One guy is, you know, very helpful, and then he just say the next day I'll send people there, and then that gives us a lot of hope actually. So we just wait for them to come. But we're also lucky is before that, right? We got the people from the church. They just walk by the street,
mm-hmm.
and then they just because my wife he is in the medical area, right? we got a lot of books get flooded. Mm-hmm. And one guy just saw her book, and then he said, "Hey, who is working in this area?" And then he just jumped into our house, and then actually this guy is my wife's colleague. So it's just like we are lucky, and then they have a troop like 10 people to help us in one day. We just have everything cleaned up.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're just lucky with that. So, and then in the afternoon, my contractor called me saying can have people to come, and then I said, oh, it's almost done. So, but so that's some story. I'll talk about how we actually remove our stuff, and then some lucky things we have, and then not so much, but the best thing, of course, is the water. We get flooded, but we do have a lot of people to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about your car during the hurricane?
Oh yeah, we are, our house is like a one single floor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then our car, both of our car park in the garage, and then they got totaled, being all got flooded with mm-hmm. high water. So and then we have to, because our car have a full coverage with insurance, so we're gonna have to have a rental car. And then we call the. That's the interesting thing is that I think everybody is like that. It's not just us. We thought that we are faster, to respond. Because
mm-hmm.
when we are in the water, we just start to call the insurance company to, for this like a paperwork and send people, right? So immediately, when I think it's in the morning of that day before we got rescued, right? We escaped from leave our house. Then we called the insurance company, and they arranged the rental car already for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our insurance company actually arranged the rental car, but the thing is, when we call them, nowhere is open.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get a car. Everybody trying to get a rental car, and then, I think ours is the first hurts, And then everybody want to get a rental car. The earliest time they open is Wednesday. I still can remember that day, which day, but I forgot the date.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 3 days after get flooded, move out from our house. So we have to rent a car. Like, since we live on our friends, and then, there's a one herd center nearby, right? So every morning at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, I start to call this center, just make
mm-hmm.
sure that they are open, and then they have a car. And then by Wednesday morning, we actually wake up like at 7:30 and then call them, say, okay, we got a couple cars. And then we're lucky enough to get one rental car. Because, a lot of our friends, they cannot get even a car, right? So that's with the car rental. And then afterwards, we have to buy the cars. And then, there's like hundreds and hundreds of, car get flooded. And then people start to go to the dealer and argue for the price. And then, trying to purchase a car. So
mm-hmm.
we need one. So we actually replaced with one of the Camry, and then the other one we buy by September. So with this Toyota dealer, we called the three places. One place can give a better price, but they actually cheat us.
Mm-hmm.
How they did is like, I called them, because I know that those dealers are outside the suburb of Houston area. Sometimes they just lure their customer to go there, right? So they say, hey, I can give you the price, and then you just come, and then promise you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got promised with one of the Toyota dealer in Alvin,
mm-hmm.
city. And then we drive all the way like 1 hour to there, and then they say, our car got flooded. The only thing is this one, and it's a quite expensive one.
Oh.
So normally like a 2017 or 2018 car is like a 22 or 23K, right? And then
mm-hmm.
they say, oh, this is 25K. That's the only one can. And then they got totally pissed off. I had to drive all the way back. So that's one story with the car purchasing. The other one, we're lucky. We buy an SUV. in late of September. Mm-hmm. And then we met a guy in the dealership, and then they give us a very good, help.
Price. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not just price. I mean, sometimes you deal people just not just with price. You deal with people
mm-hmm.
with the help. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for your interview.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.